The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home, your world is limitless.
In the National Services Day last year, there we were with all these men and women in uniform on the Late Late Show, wandering around the place. And then I knocked on the door of another special guest there. And I said, "Hi," she goes, "Can I come down and meet all the people? I find them very impressive." I said, "Yeah, sure." And that person was Sinead O'Connor, who joins us on the line now. Good morning, Sinead.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Oh, it's great to talk to you.
You too, man.
Can you remember how exciting it was that Friday just this time last year with all the services?
It was very moving indeed. It was. I remember being almost crying. That it was very moving when they were all coming on. It was incredible.
Because you said that you wanted to meet them. That you, I just think you seem to have great respect for these people and what they do.
Yeah, in particular, I find cops terribly attractive, and I have a huge affinity with soldiers. I really love army people, soldiers.
Okay. Yeah, because of their the line of duty or anything else in particular?
Because of the line of duty and because of the voluntary program I told you I did before a couple of years ago, just for a very brief period. I was on this program working with veterans in America.
Yeah.
So I grew to have a great love for soldiers or anyone in the army.
Okay. And you know, when we spoke last September with National Services people. And our friends, we had no idea, Sinead, that we'd be facing a pandemic, as you know, in March.
I know.
And then you're crazy. And then you came on and you sang beautifully for us at the end of the season, as you know, and, you know, such a changed time. But you did say that you were going to head into the front line yourself. Is that coming to pass now? Is that the plan?
Well, what I said was I'm going to go to college and train to be a healthcare assistant.
Sure.
So that in between albums and tours, when you've got a year or two sitting around, I have an occupation. That's something I wanted to do for years. So it's not because of the COVID thing. So it's not that I'm like rushing to the front lines at all. I'm learning how to use Word. It's that early in the game.
Yeah, of course.
First, I got to find out, can I write an assignment and can I do the practical work or whatever, you know. And then, as you're aware, the area I want to work in ultimately would be palliative care.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to start that.
You've signed up, and when do you kick in? When did the pencil case come out?
28th of September. That's it. Head down. Yeah.
And is it how many years or what's
it's the... just 1 year. It's just 1 year.
Okay.
So that's how I'm making use of the time. I had a whole year's worth of shows booked, but they all got pulled because of COVID. So. Mm. And I've wanted to do this course for a few years, but I never could find time free from touring. So that's how I'm making use of the fact that I'm unemployed for the year.
And apart from that fact, which is a pretty prosaic reason, is there a more personal reason for it, or is it just because?
There's loads of personal reasons, many, many, many personal reasons. It's something I wanted to do since I was a child, was work in the area of palliative care. But when I was a child, it was only the priests or nuns who really did that.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows I didn't want to be either of those.
Yeah.
You know, but there are also personal reasons, one of which is, you know, I the first song I ever wrote in my life when I was 14 it was exactly about this. So the desire was there from then.
Mm-hmm.
But a huge impetus for me was one of my best friends in the world actually died about 5 years ago. And he asked me one night, would I sleep in the bed with him when he had found out he was dying? And I told him I would, but in the end I was too frightened and I didn't. And I felt from then that I would never leave a person alone feeling frightened. I let my friend down very badly. And I figure I'd never go. That's one of the more personal reasons that I figure, you know what, I learned from that never to leave a person alone. So my desire is to work with people who are particularly alone. So I didn't leave him alone for like days, or I mean, get other people in the house, but I didn't get into the bed with him and snuggle him like he wants me to because I was so frightened.
What were you frightened of?
Of death and dying and of him dying. Basically, I'm sure all the training goes out the window when it's someone that you are so closely attached to. You know what I mean?
Mm, of course. So, and now you're going to hopefully attain your qualification, and you will practice it. You'll be a healthcare supporter, essentially, assistant.
Yeah, and I'll be working in all areas that healthcare assistants would work in, like nursing home work and all kind of work. Obviously, it would take a few years. It would take, God knows, you wouldn't after 1 year be let loose on dying people, you know. You would need a lot of training, so I would imagine it would be 3 or 4 years before I'd be ready to do the work I want to do, which is more or less what you would call being a death midwife. There's a movement of these people called death midwives,
yeah,
where they particularly work with people who are frightened, you know. So obviously no one's going to let me or anyone loose after 1 year of healthcare system training, but you have to, the first step in becoming a death midwife is getting this diploma. So there'd probably be, I can work in general healthcare, but I would have to train more, obviously, before I'm let loose.
And you, we've been speaking quite a lot, actually, in recent years about your fascination with American politics, not unlike my own. Are you still CNNing your way through the day?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Did you read anything good book-wise or...
I went through those Kennedy books. I thought they were a bit all over the place, yeah, chronologically.
Yeah.
I thought the Mary Trump book was really a bit like, you know, it was very interesting from a female point of view. It was full of gossip. I loved that, but it was a bit like, oh, okay, so you didn't get the money, so now you're writing the book. You know what I mean?
You've got Bob Woodward's one coming out now in a couple of weeks. That'll be a cracker, I'd say.
Right.
And,
well, yeah. My concern now is that, you know, I'm among the very few who believe that Trump is actually the scriptural Antichrist. And if that's the case, unfortunately, he may have another 3 years to go.
Yeah, I think he might. Yeah. I think he might well do. I noticed you said the other day in a tweet that you were that you're knitting. You give a hashtag and knitting compares to you. I mean, that was like a dad joke of the highest order, by the way. A wonderful pun. So what, tell me about the knitting. Is this new or is it lifelong or what's happening there?
No, I'm a terrible knitter. I can't knit anything except I'm making a blanket for my grandson and I knit winter hijabs, which are full of holes, and I can't knit anything, actually. I just picked it up a few months ago off some friends of mine that showed me just something to do.
Yeah.
It's very addictive. It's quite addictive. It's great for smokers because you smoke less when you're doing it.
Because you're at it. And did you?
Yeah.
Did somebody sit beside you, Sinead, and say, this is how you knit, or did you YouTube it, or what was that?
I know. I learned at school. I learned a little bit at school.
Okay.
But what happened was that it was actually some nurses in the hospital sat me down and showed me how to do it again. And it's like riding a bike, you know. But I couldn't knit anything other than, you know, a fat scarf or a blanket, which would probably all have a lot of holes in them.
How would you describe the experience of being a grandmother?
It's magical. It's a huge honour every time they want to look at you or say your name or, you know, are interested in you. My grandchildren call me Dodo, which I love. Nobody else in the world calls me that. But I love when I hear Dodo, you know.
Music-wise, let me ask you, you have a new single coming out, I know, I think it's in October, and you've got quite a lineup. You've got David Holmes producing the album, you've got Don Letts doing the video, and so you're surrounded by great people. They're lucky to have you, obviously, on their books too. Do you want to tell me a little bit about the music?
Met David Holmes actually at Shane McGowan's 60th birthday gig.
Yeah.
Where I had sang a song called You're the One. And David came up afterwards and asked me, would I get together with him and let's make an album? So we've been working on that slowly but surely.
Great.
Since then, but very slowly but surely. But we're halfway through this stage. But we were recording a particular track for the album, but we decided it was more appropriate to release it now because of everything that's going on in the world at the moment, particularly in support of Black Lives Matter. So we've got one song which won't now be on the album, but it's just going to be released on October 2nd as a single, which is in support of Black Lives Matter.
And do we have a title for the song? Are you allowed to tell us?
Well, I'm not allowed.
Top secret.
I was dying to even give it to you to play, but it's too early because the thing is, it's in aid of Black Lives Matter.
Okay.
And we don't want any leaks because we want the finances going to Black Lives Matter.
Ah, okay.
We want to Yeah.
And were you able to shoot a video in the middle of a pandemic, or what? How does that work?
Well, yeah, there are very strict rules. I have to restrict my movement, so I'm like a little hermit at the moment, which I will be for 2 weeks. So I'm sticking to the regulations.
Yeah, because you have to quarantine after being away, I take it. Is that it?
You have to restrict your movement. It's not as strict as a quarantine. It's kind of 4 out of 5, if you like.
Yeah.
You know, I can go to the store with masked and gloved and get my provisions. You know.
Your messages.
Your messages, exactly. That's what my granny used to say.
I get mocked for saying that, but anyway, it must have been...
No, it's lovely.
Is the Honda 50s ticking over or not?
I sold it to the Mary Wallopers.
Oh, did you?
The Mary Wallopers, of all people, yeah.
Okay, so that's...
I sold it quite wisely, because it's not really a wise move for a 54-year-old lady to be going around and thing. I broke my blooming bag trying to pick it up when I fell off it.
Okay, well, then you did the right thing. Elizabeth was on to say, tell Sinead about, this is on the subject of you not wanting to get into the bed with a guy who said, look, I just need to be comforted because I'm dying. She said, tell Sinead, it's okay, this happens. And her friend will have understood that. We all die alone. No one comes with us. I've been near death a number of times, and near the end, things are clear. And you just see your way out of this world as you move towards happiness in the next world. That's her take on it.
Exactly. And I mean, I know that, and I trained as a medium for 20 years in London, which I never really talk about. And that gave me a huge insight into, you know, the certainty that death is like taking your clothes off, and we go to a great world of joy, a part of us that always lives in one way, as my 16-year-old son says, we're all one soul. So that's where we go to.
Okay.
You know, so I believe that hugely, but I think possibly it's for the same reason doctors can't work with their own family. Possibly death midwives can't work with their loved ones, because all your training would just completely go out the window.
Anne says, regarding knitting, we're really bouncing around here, but just while you're there, regarding knitting, casting on, which I'm sure you know is the expression for...
Yeah,
casting on, she says, shows hope for the future. It's positive thinking.
Exactly.
Would you agree with that?
I would very much agree with it. And also what I like about it is it's the first time in my life that I have not procrastinated. I actually finished a hijab. It took me about 6 weeks. But I finished it. And the reason I did that, I considered it step one toward college, that if I could actually finish the damn hijab, I could prove that I'm not completely a procrastinator. So, yeah, it was definitely a whole act of hope, this particular hijab.
You sound in really good form. You know, I don't know whether that's the grandchildren's influence on you, or whether it's life broadly speaking, or whether the pandemic hasn't been as awful for you as it has been maybe for some. I'm not sure. It's kind of suited some personalities, not others. How would you describe where you are in the world at the moment?
Yeah, I'm always really happy when I'm making music. I was getting a bit... I was okay during most of the pandemic. I was enjoying that. I live in a house with my son and his wife and my grandchildren. Mm. I was enjoying that. And I had one child that needed a bit of looking after, so I was kind of pleased in a way, too, that I was there, not away working.
Sure.
So I was fine until about 2 weeks ago. Then I got a bit depressed, actually, because I was bored, just absolutely bored, too much to think about. So now I'm really happy again because there's work. You know, music is when I'm happiest, obviously.
Yeah, you always say that. And I see the likes of Christy Moore now doing gigs, you know, from wherever they might be, and you sign up and you pay up and you go to the gig from your home. Is that something you must be considering?
Well, the way I'm contracted is that the shows that were pulled all this year, I'm contracted to do them next year as they were supposed to have been done this year. So I'm not legally contractually bound to not do any shows,
even online.
Those shows, not even online. Oh, I would have my guts would be had for Nicola.
Hey, listen, thanks so much for talking to us this morning. So,
All right,
I love talking to you, and you're brilliant. And
yeah, you too, man.
Thanks for your time.
I'll send you the song, but privately, but you can't play it until
October
2nd.
Absolutely. I will hold my fire until we can all hear it together. You mind yourself, Sinead. I'll see you very soon, I hope.
Take care.
Take it easy. Sinead O'Connor joining us live this morning from, I presume, Bray in County Wicklow. She's in great form. 515-51 is the text number.